invite you to open your Bibles again at Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8. Our text will be in verse 30, 31, and 35. And Philip ran hither to him, and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, Understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, How can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. Verse 35. Then Philip opened his mouth, and began at the same scripture, and preached unto him Jesus. We know that the Lord will add his blessing to the reading of his word. The title is The Gospel Simple to Understand. We all love to hear testimony by the saving grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Many people are sealed in such different circumstances. I was sealed in a house, believe it or not, it was a real old house. It was built by the Dutch. And I was at home, and I think it was King William's men, and it was called Mavort House, Mavort. And actually, one of my sons has Mavort in his name. I think it's a Dutch name, and that's where the Lord saved me, in that old-fashioned mud-walled house. We all have different, so many, and I could tell you of many people saved in such special circumstances. I know one man at home, and he was saved in a maze prison. Saved in a maze prison. Know another man who was saved on his way down for an operation, and he wasn't even expected to come out of it. And if he had died, even though he was saved, a new disciple in Christ, people would have said that man would have been in a lost eternity. So we have to be careful when we're speaking about people being in a lost eternity. That was one man just saved between God and himself, and there was a doctor there as well. Probably nobody would have knew. But he made a remarkable recovery. He still suffers today. But he was with drugs and he was in a pub group. But thank God he's even preaching in our, probably one of our churches even tonight. But here we have the conversion of the Ethiopian eunuch. My geography is not the best, but I think Ethiopia is in Africa. I think that is quite an easy one. We have before us two men. Philip and the eunuch. First of all, we're going to have a look at Philip. Forgive me if I say Peter, for sometimes when I mention Philip, I usually sometimes would say Peter instead of Philip. So I know I'll give you a warning in advance. Here we have this man, Philip. He was a deacon in the early church. Remember how the deacons came about? There was a great growth in the church. Souls were being saved. The Lord added daily. And it was growing. But the Grecians, they thought, well, the apostles are busy, and our widows are being neglected. So, under God, said to the people, we'll choose 7 deacons, and I will be taking control of the affairs of the church. And the multitude, as it says, of the disciples, the early church, they appointed under God 7 deacons. One of them was Stephen. Stephen was an extraordinary man. And he was a preacher of the gospel. He was not afraid to stand up for the Lord Jesus Christ. There as he stood up, and because he said, ye stiff-necked people, he was straight and plain with them and told them they were wrong. And because of that, they stoned him to death. And there, right beside him, where he was down, stood a man called Saul of Tarsus. Saul of Tarsus, as we know and read in the scriptures, was a very wicked man. He did not like the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he persecuted them. And he brought all the mothers and fathers, put them in prison. Children left. He didn't care. He just wanted to stop the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And how the gospel spread. Because they moved here, there, and yonder. They went everywhere. And what did they do? They preached the gospel. So Philip, he became a preacher of the gospel. And here we have him going down to Samaria. And what a great blessing there was. As he preached the word of God, all the people gave heed. They saw the miracles that were done under God. He saw a lame made walk, dumb made to speak. What a great blessing there was. So much a blessing that they had to send to Jerusalem. And they sent to them Peter and John. And how they came down to help them in that work. Now you would humanly speak as you would have thought, well, there's plenty of work to be done here in Samaria. All these new converts had to be taught the word of God, needed the words of encouragement. And you would have thought, well, Philip would have a lot of work here to do. But no. God says to Philip, the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. Here, the word of the Lord came to Philip. And I'm sure he wondered, why am I going to the desert when there's so much in work? Well, we would have probably have thought that. But Philip, no problem. He obeyed the word of God, obeyed the angel of the Lord, and he went down south to the place where the angel said to go. Then we look at the young man, eunuch. Now this is very interesting because Usually when a preacher preaches about eunuchs, they just call him a eunuch. But we're just going to look a wee bit closely at a eunuch. Tells us in the 23rd chapter of Deuteronomy in verse 1 about a eunuch. And it tells us that they were not allowed in the congregation of the Lord. They were not allowed. But then when you look at your scriptures, I use the Thomson Cain reference Bible, and when you look at it, and you see about eunuchs, it'll show you that you read about them again in the 56th chapter of Isaiah. And God's promise of no respect of persons. And it also says in verse 3, neither let the eunuch say, I am a dry tree. Dry tree is not much good. So they're having to say that. They're having to say, look, I'm out of here. Nobody wants me. I'm no good. They're having to say that. And then we also see in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 12. Matthew chapter 19, verse 7 to 12. Here we have the Lord Jesus Christ teaching on divorce. Well, I'm not going to tackle that subject. But the Lord made it clear, and he used the eunuch as an illustration. This was an illustration. And it says in verse 12, for there are some eunuchs which were so born from their mother's womb. And there are some eunuchs which were made eunuchs of men. And there be eunuchs which have made themselves eunuchs for the kingdom of heaven's sake. He that is able to receive it, let him receive it. He was actually showing to the people the differences of temperament and the variety there was in that to do with divorce and behavior. Here we have what a eunuch is like. Now this man, he worked for the Queen of Candace. He must have been a very good person, very good at his work, very trustworthy, very nice, very religious man. But he wasn't saved. He was believing and just going by the law would save him. This is what we get when we read the scriptures. He was so interested in religion. He was so interested in the word of God. What a man he was. And he was just up at Jerusalem to worship unto the Lord. And on his way back, he was in his chariot. And he was reading the word of God. Isn't it wonderful? Reading the word of God. The Spirit said to Philip, Philip, go here and join my son to the chariot. Now this is very interesting because Philip was led by the Holy Spirit to that actual chariot. But then we see that he ran to the chariot. What does that teach us? Oh yes, we've got God's word and we're led by the Spirit. But we have to use ourselves. We have to work. We have to bring the gospel message to others. We have to, as it says, go the extra mile. That's why there's so good of interest within our denomination for the lost around the world, to bring the message of the gospel to different countries. We have to run. We have to work. And here, as he comes to the chariot, he hears him reading that portion of scripture which we studied this morning, Isaiah chapter 53. And he says to him, "Understandest what thou readest? Do you understand the scripture?" And the man looks down from his chariot and says, "How can I? Except some man show me." And how true that is. Oh yes, there's some people who can read the scriptures. The Holy Ghost can come upon them and save them, even reading the Bible or gospel tracts. But think of Martin Luther. And he studied. And he looked and he said he didn't see any light until he came, "As the just shall live by faith." The Lord opened his heart. He was wonderfully saved. But then, generally speaking, when people read the scriptures, they just do not understand. When I was young, and there was a man, and he would come and he would quote scripture. I wasn't saved at the time, but I'll never forget it. He would quote verse after verse after verse to me. I had not one clue what he was speaking about. I couldn't understand it. And he didn't seem to say it with love in his heart. So I kept out of his road as much as possible. See, the scripture, this is where the preacher comes in. This is where the Christian comes in. We have to help those who are reading the gospel. We have to witness. We have to bring the gospel message to the lost. How can they hear without a preacher? So important to carry this message to the lost, prizing souls. You don't want souls to go to a lost eternity. We want to see people saved. And as he goes up and says, eunuch says, "Come up beside me." And he went up and he sat with them and they looked and they studied the scripture that he was reading. And what happened was that Philip preached Christ unto him. That's what he done. And that brings us well to the question, is the gospel simple to understand? Is it simple? Was it simple for that Ethiopian eunuch? No, it wasn't. It wasn't simple for him. His eyes weren't open. He couldn't see it. Couldn't just understand it. And there, as Philip preached, we see the contents of the gospel message. Contents. We look at contents. One of my hobbies is grocery shopping. And whenever I go grocery shopping, when I would go and look, say, for example, I was going to get a tin of baked beans. And of course, you would go and you like tomato sauce with your baked beans, and I like the baked beans with sausages in them as well. And I look at the tin, And I tell you, oh yes, there's baked beans, there's sausages, there's tomato sauce, and all this additives, all in. That's the ingredients. That's the contents of that tin. And the contents of the scripture is the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the contents. Now we see that the Lord Jesus Christ and how God planned salvation through him. And how wonderful it is when we look at the scriptures and we see the plan of God as he reveals it to us in his word. It was God's plan to send his only son, the Lord Jesus Christ, into this world. We were looking at it today. Yeah, from before the foundation of the world. And how we have God the Son. He fulfilled it. He went. He was obedient to the Father. And he went to the cross. And how he took him and nailed him to that cruel cross. Crown of thorns on his beautiful head. Nails on his hands and his feet. And how he put that cross up into a socket in the ground and suffered the pain that our Saviour bore. That's the contents of the scripture. He died on the cross to save us from our sins. What a Saviour. We come with praise and thanksgiving. There's a way made back to God from the dark past of sin. It's only through the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the gospel message. We can't frill it up with any frills. We have to be plain speaking. Bring the whole gospel message to preach it. Then we see our Saviour send it up into heaven. That's where he is now, this very moment, making intercession for his people, willing and able to save precious souls. He looks down upon our gathering here now. He knows our hearts. Knows about each and every one of us. Oh, what a mighty Savior we have. What a great mighty high priest that we have. Then we see the application of the contents of the message. The application. Here he preached the Lord Jesus Christ. And they come to water. This is a very interesting part. They come to water. And he says, the eunuch says to Philip, what does hinder me to be baptized? Now, they were already, Philip was preaching the word to him. And maybe when he was in Jerusalem, he saw some believer being baptized. Maybe he heard about the word of God, but it was on his mind. What does hinder me? First things first. Philip slowed him down. Philip slowed him down. Says you must believe on the Lord Jesus Christ with all thy heart, then thou mayest. You see, baptism is important, I believe, in the believer. It's baptism. But there's so many believe in whatever type of baptism they believe in, that it saves them. And when you're young and all so many different denominations around the world, so many people are dependent on their baptism to save them. But it'll not. Here's a great example of it. And Philip says, wait there. You have to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ with all thine heart. He was applying the gospel message. Was the gospel message simple to the Ethiopian eye? Could he understand it after all that Philip had said to him and explained to him? What did he say? He answered and said, I believe. Isn't that lovely? I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. His eyes were open. Was the gospel message simple to the Ethiopian eunuch now? Yes, it was. You see, who applies the message? It's the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost, the third person of the Holy Trinity, he's the one that applies the message. He was the one that applied the message to that Ethiopian eunuch's heart. Of course, Philip, he spoke. But it was the work of the Holy Spirit that led that eunuch to Christ. The Holy Spirit made it simple for him. You know, many's the time I wonder why people are not saved. The gospel is hid to them that are lost. Well, how we need to bring the gospel message. We need to pray that the Holy Ghost will use that message and save precious souls. How important it is. And then he stopped the chariot. Then he was baptized. Baptism is a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. Especially in those days, people, whenever they made professions of faith, when they were saved, they were baptized. And other people saw them being baptized. It was a witness. And how it must have been wonderful for that Ethiopian eunuch. He believed in God. He believed in the preaching, the Word of God. You know, some think it's foolishness, the preaching of the Word of God. Many a place have preached the Word of God and crowds and people, and they make fun of you. And they gather around you again. To them, it's foolish. Oh, look at that fool standing there preaching. But unto us who are saved, is the power of God. Hallelujah. Isn't that wonderful? Wonderful. And I look down upon you tonight, and as I know there will be others listening in sermon audio, and if you're not saved tonight, this gospel message goes forth to you. Come, repent of your sin, forsake your sin, follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Without repentance there is no remission. We must come as a sinner to Christ. I pray that if you're not saved, that you will come just as you are, without one plea. And for the child of God, I encourage you, run with the message. Keep to the contents, the Bible. This is the important part, is to do what it says. And in closing, I must just give a few moments left. And I'll just give a wee testimony here of a friend of mine. Is the gospel message simple to understand? Now, for me to give you this picture of this testimony, I'm going to take the part of that man. I was born in Newton Hamilton, in County Armagh. This here is one of the gospel tracts. I've sent this gospel tract around the world over this last was it 15 years of actual track. I left school at the age of 13. My horizons soon broadened, and as I thought, I smoked my first cigarette at the age of 14. I drank my first bottle of beer at 15, and at the age of 18, I drank as much as I liked. Education was not a big emphasis in my life. I found it hard to read, and I found it hard to write. I aimed to do was just to have a good time. And when I reached the age of 28, I realized there had to be something more to life than this. My life had no meaning, ambition, or satisfaction. I never attended Sunday school, and I rarely went to church. In the year 1956, Mr. Stanford came to conduct a gospel mission in Lurgan Neary, nearly Newton Hamilton. I was invited to go along. Mr. Stanford spoke of someone who could change my life. His name was Jesus. He explained God's way of salvation. First, I needed to repent of my sins, to turn away from them, and ask God's forgiveness. Then I needed to receive him as my Savior, the one who could cleanse me from every sin, because he took my sin on his own body and he died on the cross. I had never heard the gospel explained in such a way as this before, and I realized it was the most important to accept Jesus into my heart, because one day he will return for them that know him. God spoke to me clearly through a verse of him. Come every soul by sin oppressed, there's mercy with the Lord, and he will surely give you rest by trusting in his word. That night I made a decision to follow Christ. I knew within my heart that my life would be renewed. I never smoked another cigarette or drank another beer, as God was faithful to his promise. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. God completely delivered me from every bondage that these things had over me. God performed a miracle of salvation in my life, and also in healing. In 1978, I was diagnosed with a brain tumor with uncertain predictions, but it was God's will to have me fully recover to live to tell of his great miracle in my life. Through my years as a Christian, my life has proved meaningful with complete satisfaction, and my only ambition is to tell others of God's great love, of his urgency to respond to the gospel message. Here we have a man who couldn't read. He read the scriptures, I don't know many times. I've never read the Bible from back to front. And if I did do it, it was only before the check of doing it. But this man was in the spirit, and he was really nowhere else to go. Part of his life was in a wheelchair. But was the gospel message simple to him? Yes, when he heard the priest, it was. Wasn't simple in his young life, but when he heard it preached and the Holy Ghost worked in his heart, yes, the gospel message became simple to him, and he just came just as he was. And in closing, just let me say, just a few years back, Brother Stanley wasn't well, and he was just come home to be with the Lord. And then that hospital ward, as his family, and the minister and myself were there, and he passed away to be with the Lord. It was such a wonderful, wonderful thing. I will never forget it as long as I live. But his family quoting verses of scripture without the other thing. do pray, the Lord, that bless His word into our hearts tonight and encourage us to bring the gospel. Harder for people to understand it, but we must bring the gospel to them, let the Holy Spirit work in their hearts. We will close by singing